Oh God, take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. I didn't grow up with the observance of All Saints' Day, or with the remembrance of any saints, in fact. But as I look back, I think the reality is that while I did not grow up calling them saints, I very much grew up aware of the communion of saints that we celebrate here today. And perhaps that's why this feast day is to me one of the most special parts of our understanding of our faith. I grew up hearing the stories of my family, both my given and our chosen family. I remember stories like I figure most families have, good and crazy, beautiful and broken people trying to get by, sometimes doing that well and sometimes not so well. But what was important was that they were part of our story. And somehow the stories conveyed the truth that even people I never met and never knew were somehow a part of who we were. But it wasn't until my dad's death that this concept of the communion of saints became so integral to my faith. In what became a blessing in hindsight, my dad perhaps best articulated this himself when he wrote his spiritual autobiography for EFM, a class they had at their church, but that we have here as well, just 2 weeks before he was killed in a car accident. He started his own spiritual autobiography with his brother Buddy, who died from leukemia before he was born. Reading this for the first time days after his death, I was fascinated that in Dad's account of his own life, he communicated how his very soul was connected to a brother he never knew. His parents worked to create a loving home for all their children, meant that making it through each day in grief, meant making it through each day of grief, which was the continuation of love for a son whose presence had become absence far too soon. I had never heard him before talk about it this way when he was living, and it reminded me that those who die before us, even those we may not know, are somehow part of us, somehow continue not just as memories, but alive in us, even when their absence seems as real and as physical as their presence once was. I believe this is something we all know and experience deeply, but it's something our culture is not good at finding space for. We barely give space for grief and mourning, and even the church has lost most of our ways to remember those who have died beyond our requisite funeral. We expect people to get back to their normal lives after a really short amount of time, and so we are left going on with a hole within us and a knowledge that they are somehow still with us, but afraid to really speak of it, lest people think we are talking about ghosts and spirits and those things that we just don't talk about anymore. But each year, we gather here on All Saints. We gather and celebrate that the veil between life and death is actually incredibly thin, and the church is made of all of its members, those living now, those who have gone before us, and those who will come after us. Originally, All Saints Day was for celebrating those canonized saints of the church, but Scripture regularly refers to all followers of Christ as saints. So today we celebrate not just the famous saints, but all those we love and see no longer, those people who have marked and touched our lives in so many ways. Truly on All Saints, we celebrate the communion of saints, those alive today and those who will come after us. But we usually end up using this day primarily to remember those we have lost to death. And I believe we do this because we don't really have many other ways to remember them together in public. And yet we desperately need ways to honor the truth of their presence in our lives. A crucial part of our faith is that we essentially are part of each other. We were made for relationship with God, and God made us for relationship with each other too. And the relationships in our lives make up part of who we are. None of us are human alone. We are part of something bigger. And occasionally we have beautiful moments in our lives where we become incredibly aware of that. But many days we just wander through, just trying our best to make it the best that we can, often feeling incredibly lonely and forgetting the truth that we truly are part of something much larger together. In my experience, it is in the radical change of relationship and death that we become most aware of how deeply others are part of who we are. When a relationship is altered in that most drastic way, we know ourselves changed by that altered relationship, And we learn that living in communion is the essence of our created nature. When we lose someone close to us, we know that we have lost a part of our own selves. Before I could fathom intellectually or emotionally that my dad was gone, my patterns of sleeping, eating, talking, and thinking changed, marking profound changes in my body and mind and soul and self. For me, I first experienced it with my dad, but I believe that this experience is common to all of us. And this year in this church, we have experienced it together as some incredible saints of the church have gone on from us. The holes in our congregation and the places they once sat seem like palpable reminders of the holes in our hearts, in our community. But what we celebrate here today is that they still and always are part of our communion, that our bond with them is changed, but not ended. One of the most helpful things someone told me after my dad's death was that although my relationship with my dad had changed incredibly, it wasn't over. As the years have gone by, I've come to realize how true this is. And I cling to that beautiful line in our funeral liturgy that says, "Life is changed, not ended." Presbyterian pastor Fred Buechner beautifully says, "How they do live on, these giants of our childhood, and how well they manage to take even death in their stride. Because although death can put an end to them right enough, it can never put an end to our relationship with them. The people we loved, the people who loved us, the people who for good or ill taught us things. Dead and gone though they might be, as we come to understand them in new ways, it is as though they come to understand us, and through them we come to understand ourselves in new ways too. Who knows what the communion of saints means, but surely it means more than just that we are all of us haunted by ghosts, because they are not ghosts, these people we once knew. Not just echoes of voices that have years since ceased to speak, but saints in the sense that through them, something of the power and richness of life itself not only touched us once long ago, but continues to touch us." This is what we truly celebrate today in All Saints' Day. Despite all the changes and chances of this life, even that most incredible change in death, there is nothing, not even death, that can separate us all from being held together in the love of God that brings us all into one communion, a communion that exists now all around us and will never end. And while I know for many that this is a day to celebrate the famous saints, those who did great and heroic deeds, I connect much more to the saints that I have known and been touched by. I connect to them more because it's easier for me to remember that they were real people. People who were wonderful and had huge hearts, but also managed, frankly, to screw up pretty often. People with tempers and people with insecurities. People who tried and struggled with mixed success to be faithful every day. The truth is, I think if we dig into any of the famous saints of the church, we'll find the same thing. St. Paul persecuted people before his conversion, and frankly, from his writings, wasn't always the nicest guy after his conversion. St. Peter denied Jesus. All of the apostles struggled to believe that Jesus had been raised from the dead, even after they saw him. Over the centuries, every saint who we have any records for turns out to have had some pretty serious character flaws and struggled deeply with their faith. In her most recent book, Accidental Saints, Lutheran pastor Nadia Bowles Weber tells the story of discovering a church in her city that was founded by a woman over a century ago. "As a woman who works in the church, it's not often that we find female leaders from that long ago. And so she was very excited to find out more about this woman, Alma White. She was excited to read that she was an early feminist and the first female bishop in the United States. But then as she read further, she discovered that Alma White was also known for her association with the KKK, anti-Semitism, racism, and hostility to immigrants. She writes of her struggle with this information. "I want racists to stay in the racist box. When they start sneaking into the saint box, it makes me nervous. But that's how it works. On All Saints Sunday, I am faced with sticky ambiguities around saints who are bad and sinners who are good. Personally, I think knowing the difference between a racist and a saint is kind of important. But when Jesus says again and again that the last shall be first and the first shall be last and the poor are blessed and the rich are cursed and that prostitutes make great dinner guests, it makes me wonder if our need for pure black and white categories is not true religion, but maybe actually a sin. What we celebrate in the saints is not their piety or perfection, but the fact that we believe in a God who gets redemptive and holy things done in this world through, of all things, human beings, all of whom are flawed. All I could think about was how hard it was for me to believe that what's true of Alma White or Harvey Milk might also be true for me. That maybe God can use me, despite the fact that I, in so many ways, am ill-suited for the work I do. As Jesus reminds us in our gospel passage today in the Beatitudes, in the family of God, it is those we least expect who are blessed. Often when we read this passage, we think that they are things to attain, that we need to try to seek to be meek and mournful and poor in spirit. But in fact, Jesus is just pointing out the truth that the very people that this world assumes are not blessed, those who have no signs of God's blessing, actually are blessed and loved in the family of God. And every All Saints Day, we read some version of these Beatitudes, reminding us that truly the blessed, the honored, the saints among us are not the great and mighty, but always includes those we least expect. On All Saints Day, we remember the very real human beings who continue to join us in this communion we share every day. When we over-sentimentalize or whitewash their lives, they become something we cannot identify with. We have truly missed the full richness of this day. We are left feeling even more lonely on a day when we are really to be reminded of the truth that we are never alone. Today we celebrate not just those we love and see no longer, are part of the fellowship of God, but that we live together too in this never-ending, never-to-be-broken love of God. We celebrate that through them, we were able to glimpse something of the image of God, know something of how God loves us, and that through them that are now part of that great cloud of witnesses cheering us on, we are reminded and strengthened that we can too can be a sign of God's presence and God's love in our world, even when we most doubt that that is possible. I've come to believe that just as the loss of death reminds us how much we are part of each other because we recognize how much the dead remain alive with us, it's also in loss that we become aware of the communion of saints that surrounds us. Because grief is the continuation of love, and the love we share for a person is something unique to the bond we share with them, the journey of loss and grief and mourning can be the most isolating, disconnecting, lonely paths we walk in this life. But I found that in the emptiness and loneliness of grief, some of the deepest human connections I've ever known were born. And those people who held my hand and walked with me along that dark path, I became more aware of how loved I was than ever before. I was surrounded by the communion of saints around me in a way I had never known. Somehow, I believe in our deep awareness of our vulnerability and fragility, we are broken open to recognize that we truly are part of each other, not just those who have died, but those that surround us now. We are reminded that those same people who may annoy and anger us, those whose quirks and flaws drive us crazy, are connected to us more than we usually recognize. That they too are broken and beautiful saints of God, and that being human together, we all share in something more powerful and more incredible than we usually remember. And through them all, perhaps we are able to see the truth that we also are one of these broken and beautiful saints of God. In the midst of what so often feels like a lonely struggle to faithfully make it through, even in our failures and flaws, we too are part of this family of God that spans time and place and cannot be broken even by death. Like all those who have gone before and those who have gone after us, we too are made to be a glimpse of light and love in this world, a sign to everyone we encounter that God loves them more than they can imagine. So come, saints of God, and let us together taste of this banquet that we share with all those who have gone before and who will go after us. Let us eat the bread and drink the wine, And remember that even when our heads and hearts can't fathom it, our very bodies and souls are tied to each other more deeply than we know. Let us be here, that communion of saints, bound by the love of God, so that people who see us and encounter our community know that they encounter the love of God that exists among us and in us, a love that reaches every person and cannot be changed by the powers or changes in this life, a love that binds us together whatever we face and enfolds us even in death. Come and know that you are part of this communion, this family, that exists here and now and always and forever. Amen.